first lived in Latvia as a diplomat between 1996 and 1999, a few years after Latvia regained independence from the crumbling Soviet Union. I returned to live in Latvia in 2022. This podcast series is based on my observations and experience, with some history and comparisons with my home country of England, on aspects of life in Latvia and things to see and experience. On Kuldīga. On a bright weekend at the end of September, I went to Kuldīga. The town was buzzing with people, strolling the cobbled streets, sitting at cafes, walking down to the waterfall. The small electric tourist buses were full. Why? Kuldīga had been added to the UNESCO World Heritage List a few weeks beforehand. In tourism terms, that is a huge thing. We will look at Kuldīga's journey to gain this designation. We will explore what you can see and do in Kuldīga. Come with me to Kuldīga, the small, unspoilt and beautifully preserved town in the west of Latvia. A very brief history of Kuldīga. Kuldīga is an ancient town in Latvia's western region of Kurzeme, with a good location at the crossroads of trade routes linking Prussian lands with Riga and Jelgava. It was first mentioned in 1242, when a Livonian order of knights' castle was built on the River Venta's left bank. The foundation of the Church of St. Catherine was laid in 1252. St. Catherine is the patron saint of Kuldīga. At that time, Kuldīga was known as Goldingen. It joined the Hanseatic League in 1368. The Dukes of Courland decided to use the castle as their residence, and the town's economy grew from its trade with Riga and Jelgava by taxing goods across the bridge over the River Venta. In 1615, the bridge was destroyed by floods, which caused a massive loss of income to the town, and a fire ravaged the wooden buildings in the old town. Kuldīga's Annus Horribilis, a terrible year. The town was rebuilt around a new town square. The wealthiest residents and merchants built their houses around this. In the second half of the 19th century, industry started to develop, with small factories built. The largest factory was Vulcan's, which produced matches from 1878 to 2004. Other factories produced needles, soap, cigars, vodka, beer, and mineral water. Many new residential, municipal and public buildings were built in this period, including a new town hall, bridge across the Venta, German grammar school and the House of Latvian Society. The number of inhabitants doubled, reaching 13,000 by the First World War. It now has a population of about 10,000 people. What to see in Kuldīga, a two-hour tour. The small river Alūksūpītja runs through the centre of Kuldīga Old Town, along the walls of the houses, which have a distinctive architecture. Old, often wooden buildings in pastel colours, with red-tiled roofs on narrow cobbled streets, with the river flowing alarmingly close along the walls of some houses. The buildings are preserved in their original state rather than being recreated. On many, you can see the plaster hiding the cracks. They all look like they could do with a coat of paint. But actually, that adds to the character of Kuldiga, a perfectly preserved location, as it was, not by modern-day aesthetic standards. Kuldiga has lots of firsts. The old town, built around a small river, is the only one remaining in the Baltic states. A 4.2-metre-high waterfall on the river Alukšupica is the highest in Latvia. The Venta Rapid, a 249-metre-wide natural waterfall, is the widest in Europe. Spanning the Venta is a brick bridge built in 1874, the longest bridge of this type in Europe. Has that whet your appetite to see Kuldiga? The town square is where you start your tour. Baznitsas Iela 5, if you're using a map or sat-nav. Like many such squares, this is the heart of the town and a gathering place. The town hall looks over it. The square is still the location for many festivities and exhibitions. Small, open electric buses start their tours from here. These have good suspension, which is necessary on the cobbled streets. A good restaurant, Goldingham Room, is on the square. It serves excellent pizza and other dishes. You can sit outside and watch the world go slowly by, or sit inside in the quirky industrial architecture. The tourist office, with free maps, is on the other side of the square. By foot, see if you can find the oldest building in Kuldiga. It has a plaque on the wall, 1670, and isn't far from the square. Walk towards the castle pond and Duke's Gardens, the remains of the former castle and its grounds. When the castle existed, there used to be a moat connected to the river Alukšupica and gardens that provided fruit and vegetables for the dukes living there, including Duke Jakob. Over the years, the castle has been destroyed, the moat was filled in, and the gardens were reduced to pasture. However, the German grammar school, located to the side of this area, took over the maintenance of the pond and park. At the beginning of the 20th century, it became popular for ice skating and sledging in winter. The students of the school provided hot tea for the skaters. In 2010 to 11, Kuldiga Council renovated the pond and a stretch of old wall, and added a fountain and some sculptures. Go up the steps at the end of the park and view the majestic Venta Rapids from the high bank. Clock the length, 249 metres, the widest in Europe. As dusk comes, the rapids are illuminated. That might be a long wait, depending on what time you are there. Turn left and walk to the District Museum. This building is known locally as Bangert's Villa. It is not to be confused with the upmarket Banger's Restaurant in the next door building. On the first floor upstairs, the first floor for the English, but the second floor for Latvians, the rooms have been laid out as an apartment of a wealthy resident in the early 20th century. Lots of small things to explore. When I visited, a tourist went through the linen in the bedroom cupboard. The floor above that has an exhibition on the history of the town. It is a great little museum, and the staff will happily explain things in English. But please leave the linen alone. It isn't a hotel. Then continue walking alongside the Venta, with its cafes and restaurants, until you come to the brick bridge. This was built in 1874, and at that time, it was the longest bridge in Europe, at 164 metres. It was made according to 19th century standards, 500 feet long and 26 feet wide, thus allowing two carriages to pass each other. It consists of seven spans of brick vaults. Oh, and on midsummer, local people run naked over it. Strange tradition. Cross the bridge and head down to the rapids. The Ventas Rumba is a naturally formed waterfall, and at 249 metres is the widest in Europe. The sound is lovely. See if you can spot any salmon trying to jump the rapids. Spring is the best time for fish jumping. The waterfall is only about 2 metres high, so if you fancy a dip, it is relatively easy from the side you are now at. Head back over the bridge, refreshed if you did dip in the Venta, then cross the road to the small river Alukshupicha's waterfall. In the 17th century, Alukshupicha waterfall was artificially created to power the first paper mill in Kurtsime. Oh, the locals have another race. This time, the competitors run along the bottom of the Alukshupicha River. Mad! Very close to the waterfall is St. Catherine's Church, the oldest place of worship in Kuldiga. It was initially built in 1252, though it has been rebuilt in a Baroque style with plenty of wood carvings since then. St. Catherine is the patron saint of Kuldiga. Walk back along Batsnitsa's Iela to Staffenhagen House. Forget the legend about King Charles of Sweden staying there and leaving a chest of clothes. It is simply not true. There is a beautiful built-in wooden cupboard and a closed chest that was added much more recently. But the best bit about this house is the kitchen. A square room at the back of the house. Look up as it leads through the house in a funnel shape to the chimney on the roof. An open fire hearth was used there for cooking as the only way to heat the house. Then it is a short stroll back to the main square. Tour completed. The Jews in Kuldiga. Something that is not mentioned in any of the official guides is the history of the Jewish community in Kuldiga. I do not know why. In 1800, 658 Jewish merchants and artisans lived in Kuldiga, Goldingen district, which was 15% of the population. In approximately 1801, the first synagogue was built, and the first rabbi assumed office in 1826. By 1901, there were three private Jewish schools in the town, one for boys, the other two for girls. The languages of instruction at the school were German and Hebrew. At first, Kuldiga's Jews earned a living through small-scale commerce. From the end of the 19th century, their economic situation improved, and the Jewish merchants sometimes supplanted the elite Baltic German business people. Jews built the flour mill and factories to manufacture matches and needles. By 1835, the total Jewish population was 2,330, some 57% of the population. In the second half of the 19th century, many Latvians came to the town, and the Jewish community lost its majority status. With difficult economic and political times, Kuldiga's Jews began to emigrate, mainly to the USA and South Africa, via England. By 1935, the Jewish population had declined to only 9% of the town's 7,000 inhabitants because, during the First World War, the Jews were banished to the interior of Russia as suspected German sympathisers, and many community buildings and Jewish houses were destroyed. After the First World War, about a third of the Jews slowly returned to the town. However, during the Second World War, the Soviet Russians liquidated Jewish public institutions. Some of the Jews of Kuldiga escaped to the interior of Russia. Those who remained were murdered by Latvian fascists in nearby forests. By 1942, Kuldiga's Jews had been exterminated. This is a dark part of Latvia's history, and I'm surprised there is no official mention. Wikipedia and Jewish websites do tell the story of the Jews of Kuldiga. The former synagogue was one of the most significant buildings in Kuldiga. After the Jews were exterminated, the synagogue became a grain store, a cinema, then a nightclub after independence was regained, and now a town library. It is listed among the ancient buildings on the Kuldiga town website as the art house and library, and the listing mentions that it was a former synagogue. The potato cultural field. It's a strange but rather interesting story. On the bank of the Venta River at Parventa Park, a potato field was planted in 2019 where cultural potatoes grew. The potato field represented the poetry volume Kurzemītje, Little Kurzeme, by Latvian poet and writer Imants Ziedonis, and the fact that Duke Jakob introduced potatoes to the Duchy of Courland. While the potatoes were growing, they listened to the potato field radio, which broadcasted poetry, plays, readings and music. People could also tune into the broadcasts. The potato varieties, Brasla and Magdalena, were planted with white clover and sunflowers. A beehive was placed in the middle of the potato field so that a person could lie down, listen to the potato field radio, and experience a life best known to bees and potatoes. Unfortunately, something else also liked potatoes and culture. In the summer of 2021, Colorado beetles attacked the potato crop. The staff at the District Museum told me that the field would be developed into a cultural place. Kuldiga Municipality confirmed that work was going ahead to build a watchtower on the site. I don't think to spot beetles. I had a look, and a massive metal construction is being made. By the way, Kartupeļu Lauku Radio, Potato Field Radio, continues and has a regular podcast in Latvian to celebrate everything to do with Imants Ziedonis and other Kuldiga cultural people. UNICEF World Heritage Status. On the 17th of September 2023, at the 45th session of UNESCO World Heritage Committee, which took place in Saudi Arabia, UNESCO decided to add Kuldiga to the World Heritage List. This was the culmination of 25 years of work. Jana Jakobsone, head of the construction department of Kuldiga Municipality, led this work. She explained to Latvian Radio, one part is scientific research in various aspects, architecture, urban planning, landscape and the history of the Duchy of Courland. One part is practical research in which we visualise and write how and what to do in traditional construction, as well as with renovation and energy efficiency. And one part is the World Heritage nomination file, which summarises the work of the last 20 years. You can read the nomination file on the municipality's website, kuldiga.lv. Kuldiga's Restoration Centre was set up as part of the UNESCO process to educate the public and involve people in restoration. I met Ilse Zarina, head of the restoration department there.
And so thank you for spending time to talk to me. What was the inspiration to apply for UNESCO World Heritage status for Kuldiga, I think some 25 years ago now?
I've been working in Kuldiga for the municipality like for 15 years. But as far as I know, that already historically during the Soviet time, the government of Latvia has appointed three historical centers, Riga, Cēsis and Kuldiga. So already during the Soviet time, it was said that those places have particular historical value and the places has to be protected. In Kuldiga, they also have established like the conservation center. So they were people with some skills that were maintaining, especially the historical part of the town. There were clever architects working who also understood the special value and who didn't want to improve the status and the situation of the old buildings, but they wanted to preserve as it is. And I've been talking with one young entrepreneur who was restoring the house, and he said that architect make him to preserve the angle of the old windows. He said that it's so necessary to have 90 degree angles that we have to consider the character of the old buildings, that they might be shabby and they might be like on the right or on the left, and it's not so important to make them straight.
UNESCO decision not so long ago, it was after lots and lots of work. And we're in the restoration centre at the moment, and undoubtedly the restoration centre did a lot of work in September gaining the status of World Heritage. What was that process like from your side? I know there have been lots of people involved, but what was that process? Was it quite long, lots of paperwork, or did UNESCO give directions as to what they wanted to see?
So when we started to work on this nomination file, sure, we had to consider the statements and the value criteria. But apart from that, for us, it was clear that wooden buildings and wooden building details has very special importance. It was clear that the traditions, how to work with the wood and joinery of the old buildings, they were created in interaction of different nationalities. Because if we look at the style, we can't point that that's typical classicism style building or that's Baroque style building. We see this impact of them, of the traditions, like folk traditions, those craft traditions of the working with wood and joinery. And then we see the impact of the architectural styles that were popular at that time in Europe and rest of the world. And then we also, when we analyze the building details, the door sets, we see that actually Kuldiga was rather long period not connected to the railways. That it also means that electricity came rather late and also electrical instruments came rather late. So it means also that for rather long period, craftspersons, they were working with the hand tools. And it also makes the character, the style of the wooden building details different. So, and our center has been responsible for protecting the things, because nowadays people, they have limited financial possibilities. And if they think about maintenance of the building, they think that it's important that the roof is in good condition. And also maybe they think about how to reduce the heat losses, but they don't pay too much attention about the details. So the one of the priorities of our center is to protect all the details with particular artistic value that people don't maintain. So like such a rather simple detail as window shutters. Historically, it had high importance because of the safety purposes. When you close the window shutters, nobody could interrupt your family life. And nowadays, there's no meaning for that anymore. Mm-hmm. So people say, I don't need those window shutters. I am not going to invest money. Mm-hmm. And then our center is taking care because I think that if we remove those window shutters, somehow the look of the building and all the architecture looks different. It's because that window shutters, they play important role in the composition of whole building and in architecture. Also the door sets and some entrances like verandas or other parts with smaller artistic value, that's the things we take care of. But in general, I can add that Kuldīga is a rather simple town. The architecture and the details, if you look at Latgale or Jūrmala to compare, then it's more sophisticated in other places. And therefore, I say that for Kuldīga, it's even more important to preserve what we have here.
Difference in size as well.
There's
a lot of modern development in Jūrmala as well as repairing of the old wooden villas. That was a nice description how you worked with residents to convince them and help them to maintain the original structures of the buildings. What about businesses?
When we started our work, we were not paying too much attention who owns that building or some parts with special value, but we were emphasizing the value itself. So we were not so much considering who is the owner. It happens that we help to restore doors for some families living there or even also for the businesses. And then maybe those business people, they could react faster because they had more investments. They could pay for the work and get the result faster. When our center is helping to some building, it always take long time. It's not like there's big money and we do the restoration works completely. When we do the works, we try to save the special values. It's not like we want to renovate all the building. That's what we don't do. And for the businesses, we are giving a lot of consultations, starting from the joineries companies. We explain them how to do the works, what's the traditional method, what not to do, what's not the correct way, and explain why. Because nowadays, those traditional crafts and skills are disappearing because nowadays people build new houses according to different traditions. Mm-hmm. And therefore, that's so important to explain people, not to say, don't do that, but explain what's, if you do in traditional way, what benefits do you get? So I think for the businesses, we play this consultancy role.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah.
And also I would like to add about the residents, actually, because we have a particular activity. We call it like maintenance of the wooden window frames. Because there's a rather high tension that the simple understanding that how to save the heat is to put plastic windows and that's it. But in Kuldīga, according to our construction rules, that's not allowed. As a response, we offer people that they can come to our workshop. They get paid all the materials, all the tools. We show them how to do the process. We have even created the videos on the internet. You can go to YouTube and see what we will expect people to do. And then they don't have to invest money, but just their time. So they come to the workshop. We help them to bring the frames and everything and show the process. And they maintain the windows and they can really improve the quality of the apartment or house. First it looks like, and then also from inside it looks nice. And also it's not so noisy anymore because it's good fixation of the glass. So, and also they enjoy the process first that they meet each other, they communicate, and then they are getting like how to say, guards of the town, because they care about. Mm-hmm.
And they understand. Nice. Yeah,
they understand, excellent. And they feel like they are belonging yeah. to the town, and yeah. they have improved and done something themselves.
Yeah. Helps build the community.
Yeah, yeah, it's really, that's yeah. important. Yeah,
excellent. Yeah.
And then we also like organize different, like smaller activities, maybe more entertaining and educational. Like to our center, we invite families with children. Mm-hmm. We were celebrating Father's Day, where people could come and try those ancient tools mm-hmm. and to make wooden curls, and they enjoy the process because children like to do yes. a lot of different practical things. They could yes. paint something, and then they could fix this linen oil putty in the frame, and they really enjoy, and they could cut the glass and imagine not cut the paper but cut the glass and so they were really fascinating. And then also we organized some activities where I explained that actually wood is long-lasting material. And that's very green, not to destroy and create something new, but we can maintain wooden details for long periods, like more like centuries. Mm-hmm. And that's what explain to people. And also we give them different species of trees and teach them how to recognize the fiber and also the smell and everything. And yes, just to enjoy the nature.
And on the 17th September, when UNESCO made that decision that yes, Kuldīga would be on the list of World Heritage Sites, was there a big celebration in Kuldīga? Was there a party?
No, not exactly on that date. Actually, as a few days after we got to get to know the news, we went to the workshop in Norway together with the school in Zeleniecki. They have mm-hmm. this department of restoration. So we were still improving our knowledge and improving our skills. So because we think that, okay, we got the status, but it's not the end, actually. That's mm-hmm. the maybe even more beginning of the process. So mm-hmm. we also share our knowledge, as our masters are so good. We wanted these traditions, to use traditional materials, and just to tell about restoration process. We promote it in other places in Latvia and also internationally. And so we have good cooperation with Norway, and our Latvian people go there and we work together. And it was specially devoted for the use of traditional instruments. So I think people really enjoyed the process. Mm-hmm. So our celebration was to get again new knowledges.
mm-hmm. Excellent, yeah. And what next for Kuldīga? This is a journey, isn't it? I mean, the whole UNESCO process is really a journey. What next? What's the next big plans, the next big projects?
So we are thinking about that we have to do, like, let's say, scientific research of our door sets. So far we have been renovated like more than 45 different doors, as you can see mm-hmm. the pictures also mm-hmm. here and
yes.
when you pass in the town. So we want to create a catalogue. We want to study and research more about the ancient masters who were working on those doors. So we want to research the history, and then we also want to describe the process, what we have done for 15 years. So because we think that when there will new generation come after yes. us, that might be interesting for them to know how we started and how we work on the process. And this is continuity of those crafts tradition that we find that's important, that we pass the knowledge and still there's somebody who is interested in that.
Thank you, Ilse.
Yeah.
In conclusion, the inclusion of Kuldīga on the UNESCO World Heritage List means that the unique value of this beautifully preserved old town has been recognised, and that Kuldīga has been marked on the world map as an important cultural heritage site. Unlike some other sites of historical interest in Latvia, it does have the services to support tourists. Hotels and guest houses, small electric tourist buses, and guides one can hire. Plenty of restaurants and cafes of a high standard. Museums, sites, and things to see and do. There are signs in Latvian and English all over town. There are plenty of toilets and small car parks. It was buzzing with people enjoying themselves when I visited. Go visit and see for yourself.